Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man that represents all the ladies out there. Yeah, so I'm here for all the ladies for something day. I forgot what today is, but it doesn't matter. It's all about me. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, he was too busy crying last night watching the Oprah interview over the prince and princess, whatever their names are. So he couldn't talk to me last night. His name is Sean Black.
Are you finished?
What?
Yeah. Yes, I'm back in the building again, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody.
And you know the number, everyone, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402.
That's what happens when you're sober. You don't even remember the number correctly anymore.
No, I really know. And you know what? I'm surprised she's on the show tonight because she was too busy crying last night watching the open interview with a prince and princess. Damn, I really don't remember their name now. I've been sober for 3 weeks already.
You need a drink. That's what it sounds like. Just drink the whole bottle and we can get through the show.
Yeah, he needs to get that liquid courage tap right to the vein, I think.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome. Hey, you know what? In honor of ladies, Women International Day, happy Women's Day, Lady T.
I guess. I don't celebrate that, but okay. I think I'm a woman every day. But,
I'm sorry
for anybody listening that celebrates it that's offended. I'm just like, you're a woman every day, but all right.
You're an everyday woman. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Except on the weekends, I heard. But
it sounds like this is some sort of a revelation for the Hot Rod. Like, huh? I didn't know that. This is a new thing here. Yeah. These are the kinds of things that happen when he's sober.
This is what I'm saying. You know what? We need somebody to get him a bottle, please. That great goose needs to hit.
Maybe he proves to me that you're a woman. Show me the proof. I
want to
see proof.
Show us the proof on a podcast that no one can see us physically.
Exactly.
He needs something right now.
He needs to start his own fans page. But anyway.
Oh, boy. Hey, you never know.
That's a bit too far.
You never know. But, ladies, do you watch any of the interview last night of Oprah with Prince Harry and Meghan, whatever her name is, I forgot.
No, not at all. I mean, I like Meghan for Prince Harry and stuff like that. I just feel like they deserve to live their life. I know it's a certain standard as far as what, you know, the English kingdom, you can say, goes by. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I think if she was fully white, it wouldn't be this kind of problem. But, you know, we already know it's the mixed nature and so forth, that she gets a lot of flack. And listen, the prince is happy with her. She's happy with him. I don't understand, you know, the whole big deal with it. So I didn't watch the Oprah. I don't plan on watching the Oprah interview that she did with her, because it's like, when I saw the preview, it reminded me of Princess Diana. It was like, just like reliving that, you know?
Exactly.
And I don't feel like being in that headspace. I just don't.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think because Prince Harry did something that, you know, I know a lot of people would not think he would do. He would leave his, all he has for his true love, quote unquote. You know,
he went against his grandma. He can't go against his grandmother, not the ruler of all. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to also understand certain things change. Life changes day to day. I mean, it's been years upon years that they've set those standards like that in England. He's a different generation right now. Certain things have to change. You know what I mean? So I just don't want to watch it.
And we also have to understand that there's been since, what, the 1500s, 1400s, or however long the monarchy has been around, there has never been anyone of color in that family. Yeah. And it has been as such, where obviously back then you didn't have that, but knowing that England were the original colonizers as far as what they did to promote slavery and bringing in Africans and using them as slave labor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't forget, at one time the West Indies, Sean Black, you know this, was ruled by England. So.
Yes. And a lot of the ruling class, they did not look upon the underlings or the peons, as they would call them, the people that they were ruling. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any kind of equality as far as being anywhere near nobility. So this is something that we know of. It's not like this is some sort of a secret. And for the fact that this has been going on now and within this time where I'm not even going to try and harp on the Me Too movement because this goes beyond Me Too. And I think we all agree with that. But it's been highlighted because of Me Too, because of all of the things that have gone on in regular everyday TV, movies, media, etc. But this, all this did was really just highlight the racism and the base of it within the royal family, and the fact that they would even ask those kinds of questions of Meghan Markle about their worrying about how dark her child would be in a mixed interracial relationship. That shouldn't matter. What should matter is you have a healthy grandchild that will eventually be part of the lineage of the royal family. And that's part of what has brought this giant storm of controversy together.
Okay. On to other things right now. Sean Black and I were a little bit outraged last week. Well, first off, some good news. New York have reached a record high of over 2 million people got their vaccine over this weekend. And
it's up to 3.6 million now people that have been fully vaccinated. That means that have gotten either the Johnson & Johnson vaccine or have gotten both doses of either Moderna or Pfizer.
Because they probably want to travel, but anyway.
Yeah, that's what I talked about, because CDC changed their guidelines now for travel. Like, people who have been fully vaccinated could travel or could have little small get-togethers with other people that got vaccinated. So when more people that got vaccinated, we all could hang out now. Or if elderly people got vaccinated, they could go see their family and their grandkids if they are healthy. Now, that being said, you have states like Texas and Mississippi where a low amount of people who have been vaccinated decided to heck with it. We're losing money. We don't give a damn. Let's open up 100%. No mask required. Open up. Let's get this party started. Sean Black, you're a little bit outraged by this. Why?
Because the last time I checked, we were still under a pandemic. I
really?
Can understand if they said 50 to 60% of the population either have been vaccinated or have some sort of herd immunity, then we could probably go out and say, okay, let's kind of open up, et cetera, et cetera. We know based on the way that this has been handled, especially over the last 6 months, it has been handled like absolute garbage, where we've seen a lot of these politicians who were so very quick to open up a lot of these mandates and not even care about the mask mandates until we had Memorial Day, we had 4th of July, we had all of these holidays, especially during Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, New Year's. Then all of these spikes started out.
You don't have to name every damn holiday, Sean.
Now, the reason why is usually after every whatever holiday or whatever gatherings happen, we tend to get these giant month, 6 week spikes. And in the, within those spikes, we're wondering, well, these probably could have happened if things were handled differently. So why are these politicians now easing off the gas pedal? They still believe that they are immune to a lot of this stuff. They want to bring money in. Mm-hmm. We know that there are jobs that are probably never going to come back because of a lot of the things that have happened during this pandemic. So I think overall they're looking for an out to try to make sure that they don't lose their constituents that thinks that they don't care about the businesses that have left or they care about all of the other stuff. Meanwhile, we still have over 540,000 people have died so far. And mm-hmm. although cases are going down, those mutated cases that we talked about weeks and weeks ago, those are starting to become a little more dominant now, which is more of a race of trying to get people vaccinated.
Okay.
Lady T?
Bottom line, I don't think we realize that we are regulated now by COVID. Everything goes according. Yeah, after a year. They're keeping us in.
I think this Thursday we'll make a year of the lockdown.
That's okay. That's natural. We're expecting it to be about a year, but the way that everything is going and how they have it mapped out, we are now living our day-to-day lives, quote-unquote, by COVID mm-hmm. laws that are not even in place yet. We'll get to the mask stuff a little bit later on that. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if we can't wake up and see, it's a certain step-by-step process they have, but it hasn't clicked in our brains yet. I can see this clearly. I said this since the first show when COVID came out and we thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. Everything is mm-hmm. regulated by this. They have their step-by-step plans out. What plans do we have in order that we're going to protect ourselves, that we're going to learn what these vaccines are really about? What are we doing for ourselves? We're just going by whatever they say. Sure, get the vaccines. You can travel. Everybody's happy. Hey, I could post new Instagram pics. Going traveling. You get my point? You're missing the point that we're still living in COVID.
Because I think, to your point, Lady, everybody's desperate to go back to normalcy, to go back and travel, go back and
people
eat a restaurant again.
You can be desperate for all of that. I mean, enjoy life, great, but hope that you are going to be still alive in this lifetime when all that is said and done. Hope that you're going to come back from these vacations safe. Hope that you're going to be that person that the vaccine will work for, because we still don't know the side effects. We haven't had enough case studies for them to give us the side effects and everything yet. Think about it. So you're guinea pigs right now.
But people don't see it that way, because the way they see it is the science, you know, we listen to the science. The science said that it's safe with mild side effects. You know, you heard low mo, Larry, Curly, Phil, Sean, with some side effects, with some fevers, nothing happened. Yeah. Let's move on with life.
Side effects have been with every drug. We just don't know what it is yet, or maybe they know what it may be, but have not reported it yet. I don't know. I feel like it's still a way to go with this COVID stuff and a lot more to be revealed, but I feel they have their plan. They know when they're going to shut down, when they're going to open, when they're going to give us a check. They have it all mapped out already. What do we have mapped out for ourselves?
Nothing. And to your point, Sean, you talk about the Johnson & Johnson, and I love people posting on Facebook, like, Johnson & Johnson could not get baby powder right, because, you know, baby powder, ovarian cancer, you know, how can you trust the vaccine, you know? Mm-hmm. But people who question the vaccine in the beginning, saying that they might take the Johnson vaccine because of one-shot deal. So, once again, it's all in a mind. Oh, it's one shot. Let me take the Johnson vaccine compared to Moderna or Pfizer. What do you say about that?
Well, I think a lot of people are looking at Johnson & Johnson and probably have had that same thought. I actually had that conversation with my mother, like, last week. And I was like, why would anybody trust Johnson & Johnson based on the talcum powder stuff that they're still paying settlement money on for all those people mm-hmm. that got ovarian cancer from taking talcum mm-hmm. powder? And as you've heard me say before, all pharmaceutical companies have their hands somewhere in either the pockets, getting money from somewhere, or from something else. That's just the way there are publicly traded IPOs and money involved with medicine. You know, in a lot of instances, we know that the cure is never there. The money is always in the the treatment. You know, you don't usually hear about any disease being fully eradicated. You usually hear about, well, this is how you get this disease and this is how you live with it. Take this medication over X amount of time and a lot of these pharmaceuticals and then make money off of that. So that's usually how it works. But I think what we're seeing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, like going back, before I go to K-Dog, going back to Texas and Mississippi, you have states like that who don't care, who focus more about the money. What happened when cases like that rise up? You know, it seemed like they just said, it's been a year, people are still not registered that we have a pandemic going on. It's like,
they don't care.
Damn if I do, damn if I do.
They're so done. Everybody is, when you look at TV and you go on social media, one of the things that you see a lot of are people are posting those pictures of, like you said, of people hanging out, going to parties, doing whatever, because mentally they checked out. I'm so done with this COVID thing. I want to take my mask off. I want to go to the movie. Movie theaters are starting to open up. People are wanting to go out to dinner, going to the restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. They're so done with all of the other stuff. And what ends up happening
the
is
the movie theaters are the most closed off space to me, so I'm not understanding. I'm not trying to eat COVID popcorn and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, it's not. No, it's like the most closed off space. I can't imagine sitting. No. It just wouldn't work for me.
And,
this is why it's so weird to see these companies opening up so quick, because it's too soon. We still, it's like I said before, if we had herd immunity of at least 50-60% of people that have either had COVID and have gotten over it or have gotten the vaccine or have done something that have mitigated the spread of this, then maybe you could say, okay, it looks like it's starting to tamp down. It kind of makes sense. Let's start opening things up. We start opening things up too soon. We have the spikes that we had back in June, July, August. We have the same spikes that we had after Christmas.
You have to remember that we're built on a country that is built on capital. These businesses have been, a lot of them will tell you they have not received help and so forth. Certain businesses like the restaurant industry cannot go down. We'd be probably going back to depression if that happens. So it's like they're trying to also do things slowly, open things slowly. For capital purposes, they don't want to be in debt. We're already in the hole. You know what I mean? So it's like that would be even deeper. But it's like,
and then they also have to look at those small businesses too.
Yeah, small businesses are already they've already hurt. So,
but we don't know the answer to that. Money is more important. And money is God. Okay, though, you're toast. You what? To most people, money is God. You know, what's that pastor named Sean Black that I can't stand the most?
And the congregation shall give you a plane because you
asked
for it. Yeah, I got
to pause before he calls up tonight. I'm going to show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Good evening. I'm listening to what everybody's saying, and I agree 100%. Listen, about the whole vaccine thing, can we say that we could trust it? I mean, we can't really know because, you know, and I agree with what Sean Black said about the Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, with all that ovarian cancer case that's still going on, can we trust the vaccines? Can we trust them? That's the question. I mean, you know, what is the side effects if you go ahead and take the vaccine? You might have a bad side effect to it. You understand? And as for the governors of Texas and Mississippi, it all comes down to the almighty dollar. Because, you know, if you heard the speech that the governor of Texas said, if you read between the lines, all he kept on talking about were the businesses. The businesses. It's like business for, it's all about the money first. Who cares about the safety of the people? And you have not just in Texas and Mississippi, but in other states, you have states that are take off the mask, like Florida, Georgia, they have the same thing. Oh, take off the mask. People want to go out and stuff. In Idaho, today I was watching in the news, they had kids burning masks in the state of Idaho. Yeah,
okay.
Burning masks.
I want to just say something on the mask thing real quick, and I said this on a previous show. We've had people
mm-hmm.
who've worn the mask and still got COVID. We have people
exactly.
who have
yes.
not worn the mask and didn't get it yet. It's all about the immune system when it comes down to that. They explained that to you, the surface to skin and so forth. They even showed you where the mask holds the virus, what was it when they put it under the blue light or whatever, Sean Black, the spores or whatever, they showed that.
Yeah.
So saying a mask and a mask and a mask is going to prevent you from not getting COVID, we do not know that yet. So they
right.
think they're mandating laws on it. There's people who's going to try to appeal those laws. We don't know how safe those masks are. I'm sorry, even when, let's say, I'm going in and out the stores, I have to pull my mask down because I need fresh air. I'm not breathing in what's in that mask. Those reports have not come back yet with
true.
How people's respiratory system has responded
true.
To that.
True,
but
true,
also,
lady, but after this, hold on, lady, after this will get with you about the fresh air, because we all know New York City, we don't have fresh air over here. Come on.
Exactly.
Our air is fresher than what's in those masks, but okay, if you say.
No, but you know what else too? It's like, you know, it all comes down to the money, and it's like, who cares about the safety of the people? Like we saw last summer, we saw a lot of spikes in certain states because of the fact that people were still going out there having parties, people traveling to places, and of course here in New York City, you have these okay, being that the movie theaters are opening, and I'm like, wow, movie theaters are opening. I don't think that it would be wise enough to go inside the movie theater because, you know, with a movie theater, you're in a closed space. You're not in an open space. And
yeah, true. Overall, yeah, go ahead.
And, of course, you know, with restaurants and all of these people here complain. Yes, some businesses have closed. I mean, a couple of businesses, even in the where I live at, there's been a couple of small businesses that ended up shutting down for good because of the money that they lost.
Real quick with the movie theater, something I'm just thinking about. We're going to have to sit like 6 feet away from each other. Why would I pay for a movie ticket to stay 6 feet away when we could just next split and chills and cuddles? Like, I'm not understanding the whole concept.
I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
He wants to.
You know what?
Yeah.
Brother
B
can answer that question. Hold on. Let Brother B answer that question, because he always is a romantic. So you know these things. So Brother B,
yeah,
take it away.
I how Brother B feels on that.
Oh, Lord. Green
man.
Salutations, everyone.
What's up, bro?
Well, I could not come
man.
In on the Cuomo part.
You came in at the right time.
No, you came
right
in at
time.
Yeah, we're going to get to Cuomo
creeping
soon.
Creeping in.
I thought I missed the thing. Yes, I'm wrong.
Go ahead, Brother B. Brother B, answer the question.
And the question is?
You know what?
No, because I want to hear his answer. I said,
yes.
How do you feel, right? You're going to have to go to the movie theaters when they open up, so you're paying for your ticket with your boo, right? So you guys have to sit 6 feet away from each other. You can't hold her hands or nothing. Meanwhile, you could just stay home, Netflix and chill, right, and cuddle, right? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean,
no
you're right. I don't think they mean for whoever you're going to the movie theater with. Like,
no.
if you're with a partner,
I'm going to watch this by myself, so, like, come on.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense. Besides, I mean, everything's going to be going up because, you know, people, they want to make their money back. If it was $50 for a movie and some popcorn, it's going to be $80.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable going to a movie theater with your mask,
not at all.
With your stuffing popcorn in your mouth, with somebody else coughing, choking on the popcorn. Everybody goes to a panic attack, thinking the person got COVID.
Oh, man.
Businesses
that'll never recover. And I think the movie industry is going to be one of those that will probably it'll work eventually, especially if the really big movies really start to come out, like the summer movies. But it's going to be a while before everybody just goes bum rushing back into the movie theater because of what you just said.
Exactly.
I don't think a lot of people are confident enough in going back into a movie theater, even if they have the greatest filtration systems and they have all of the UV lights in between movies, et cetera, because the first person that coughs is going to be a fire drill rushing out of the movie theater. I can see it.
Well,
go ahead, Brother B.
But that's the thing. Nothing is a nothing. None of this is a guarantee. Like you guys were saying earlier about the mask, it's not a guarantee. Even the vaccine is not a guarantee. They'll push everything else except stressing to people. You need to focus more on taking care of yourself and taking care of your immune system.
Exactly.
In the beginning, everybody was talking about lemon water and doing this and herbs and this, that, and the third. And, you know, maybe it was working for some. Maybe some people were just like, the hell with it, I ain't doing all that. But the thing is, most importantly, you have to take care of yourself because none of this is guaranteed. You can take the vaccine. If the vaccine is not guaranteed. And it's not to just, you know, like discourage it. But the whole thing is people are going to – this is the problem, the false insecurity that's going to be built. People are going to take the vaccine and then like, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling great. Like, I'm immune. Like, they'll want to walk around without masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, well, I'm good.
Like, they're superhuman.
But it doesn't mean that
you're
no guarantee that you're not going to get it. And there's no guarantee that you may be the asymptomatic one that may give it to someone else. So, once again, there's no guarantees. And I think it's really reckless for places like Florida and Texas to actually be out there talking about, oh, you don't have to wear your mask, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. Like,
open things 100% again. It's all about
business.
It's all about money.
And once again, listen, if that's the case, then let them put themselves in a position where no one is able to go to Texas. Everybody that comes out of Texas got to get quarantined.
And you know what? And before I go to the next topic, I just want to add this quick story. I have a friend who does IT work. Of course, it's like you hear these stories all the time, over and over. You know, he wears his mask, he does his proper things. But what happens? He went to his mother's house. Mother got COVID, passed it to his son, able to his family. Now the whole house have COVID. You hear these stories over and over again. And plus, to Brother B point, the mother got vaccinated. She got the first vaccine. She didn't get the second one. You know, but what happens? People get comfortable. They all meet together.
Yes, they do.
And boom. You know, and even to my father, me and my kids, we want to go see my father. First thing I told him, wear your mask. I don't care if we're wearing masks. I want everyone to wear masks because we never know. But other than that, on to, once again, another topic. We'll be talking about this thing over and over. And Lady T is going to kill me about this. Sexual harassment in the workplace. This is something I would love to talk about. And we're going to talk about about New York's favorite hero, who now became New York's biggest villain, Governor Cuomo.
Public enemy number one.
He's been accused of 5 so far of inappropriate behavior with ladies. You know, of course, there's different stories. But before I get into it, why is it when one person get accused of sexual harassment or inappropriate behavior, the next week or so, everybody starts coming up with stories about the same person.
Mm-hmm.
That always seems to be the case. I don't know why. But, Lady T, overall, what's your takeaway of Governor Cuomo and his sexual harassment, and do you think should he resign?
How long ago was these cases, by the by? Because what I've noticed with when listening to some of the cases, a lot of these females were working with him a while ago, right?
Four with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think
four
the earliest
with him,
case
one was at the wedding.
2000, when he was, I believe 20, he was working.
21 years ago.
There was one. A couple of them happened like within the last 10 years.
Right. This
one happened
point,
in
right
2009.
Here.
Another one, like I said, in 2000. Another one just a couple of years ago. So,
Okay.
So this is my breakdown of this because I'm a little irritated how the Me Too movement started off, and when you pass it off to another person, which they did, it gets Hollywoodized. We already spoke on that. I'm not even going to go into the Me Too movement. But my thing with these cases that really bothers me, we're talking about something from 10 years ago, and we now want to come out with it due to the fact that he's getting his praise for how he's handled COVID with New York City and this, that, the next, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So it's the right time for them to try to diminish his character, is what I'm looking at. Because me personally, I've had experience sexual harassment in the workplace, and I handled that on the spot without going to my bosses, because one of them was my boss when it happened, and I shut it down there. Either he's going to talk to the cops about how his penis got chopped off, or he's just going to stand back. You understand what I'm saying? I'm being so serious right now. So he took the right route, and he actually transferred his own self to another location. So the point that I'm making is, when these things happen on site, why is a report not being made right then? Why do you wait till the person gets famous or the person moves up there? Are you scared of losing your job, or are you scared of really this sexual harassment? That's the part that always bothers me with stories like this. That's why I don't know if it's believable or not, or if you just allowed it to happen, but you were more concerned about your job. You can always get another job.
True.
Well,
ladies,
right. This is true, though. This is true 100% because, like you said, there's been Governor Cuomo has been getting praises a lot, and now all of a sudden these barrage of sexual harassment charges are just coming out. They're coming out one by one. Today, tomorrow, who knows who else is coming out next?
Brother B.
But Lady T, what you just said, you could be accused of victim shaming because
I don't say that it didn't happen.
Uh-oh.
That's not victim shaming.
You know,
shaming.
You're shaming. You know what the sad part is? No matter what you say, because I believe you're absolutely correct, Lady T. But no matter what you say, someone is always going to find a way to call you wrong on it. Always. Because, maybe she was scared, or maybe she was threatened, or maybe this, or maybe that. Just like you had for, you know, once again, Bill Cosby was getting ready to come out with two shows on Netflix, and another run for NBC. Next thing you know, boom, 40 women just come out of nowhere. And it's not to say that he's guilty or he's innocent. I don't know. I wasn't there. And the same thing with Cuomo. But the whole thing is this. Why? It's sexual harassment. It can range from anything. I can say, hey, lady, see, you're looking nice today. And she can be like, I feel like you sexually harassed me. Like, you can't say nothing.
Mm-hmm. This day and age,
you
that would be. But we're talking about 10 years ago. Remember, 10 years ago, certain things like that was okay. Oh, wow, I like your curves. People wouldn't be bothered by that. You get my point that I'm making?
Well, these days, as a matter of fact, Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry. Go ahead, T-Dog. Go ahead.
Yeah, even though, like, even now, like, I was in a workshop not too long ago at my job, and they had something going on there. Wait a minute. Sorry about that. My phone fell for a second. Okay. So what happened is even complimenting on a woman's outfit, you're taking a risk. Even saying, that's a nice outfit you're wearing, that's taking a risk because it could be deemed as sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean Black?
I think it's difficult to kind of legislate intent unless you're going to legislate it in the court of public opinion. I've seen some of the claims by the accusers as far as what is being alleged as to what they're figuring is going to be sexual harassment. One of them, and I brought this up to you, Hot Rod, off air, I think it was yesterday. One of them had said that...
Which pissed me off a lot, for the record.
She claims her name is Anna List, that's her name. She claimed that he had touched her lower back asked if she had a boyfriend, and kissed her hand. And
wow,
she claimed that is something that should be part of the sexual harassment suit. Another one had said that she was summoned to a dark hotel room.
How many years ago was that for that one?
That one was, I believe, within the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years, I think.
Okay.
The one from 2000 said that she was summoned to a darkly lit hotel room early in the morning or really late at night. And then he went to the door and embraced her, and I think she pushed back away from it, and then that's part of that particular suit. Another one,
okay,
which we've
Sean, I got something to say after the hot rod, okay?
He gave her a hug, quote-unquote, from what we understand, and she pushed him away, as she stated, which I don't believe it.
Hot rod,
and
you forgot
it,
the
right?
part. She was summoned to a darkly lit room.
That's the part I
wanted
to dark get
to. Yeah, a darkened hotel.
In a hotel. Yeah. Okay, but go ahead.
Wow.
So what are the clues right there, you know? Go ahead, lady.
My question is, what do you mean summoned? Was she doing a project for him there? Had to type in something? Forgot the note? What do you mean
she
I'm
was an
summoned
assistant of
to?
His at the time? So
yes,
I think that that's what
that's
might have been the case.
That she should have said it like that. Let me explain something to you. Let me explain something to you right now. These women are in fear of their jobs. They didn't want to say anything,
okay,
let's just say, quote, unquote, if it happened. I'm not buying the story. What do you mean I was summoned to there? I'm an assistant of his. He asked me to bring the notes. This, and that happened. That sounds more believable to me. I was summoned. Were you trying to make your way up? You also have to look at both sides of this story. I'm sorry.
Yes, I agree 100%. My thing is with the Cuomo situation that I give to you guys, number one, Cuomo should know better. We all agree
exactly
on that part. You know, you should know better, Cuomo. You're a man in power. These females will do anything to, you know, these politics and these women will do anything to bring you down. He should know better. And number two, he should not stop chasing after these young girls, especially with this crazy generation today, and chase after the divorcees, women his age, that were ready to sleep with him in one shot.
Nah, guys his age don't want that. They want the young chicks. They want the young chicks.
How do we know?
But look what got him. Got him in trouble now.
But how did we really – see, that's the thing. Everything is an accusation. How do we know
exactly
he really did – how do we know he did it? That's the whole
that's
thing.
The question.
Just, that's
the question.
That's the point that I'm trying to understand.
Where again, this is the
somebody
reason. Why?
Well,
this is the reason. They don't want to talk about.
Hold on. I think what Sean trying to say overall, what do we consider as inappropriate behavior? If I give Lady T a hug and squeeze up because I've not seen you since the pandemic, is that inappropriate behavior right now? You know, if I give a kiss on the hand, in which is an Italian way of greeting, as appropriate behavior now, what is considered as appropriate behavior right now?
And that's something
that men in this society
today are going to have to learn as far as
exactly
what is acceptable to be able to, because now we're in a dynamic where we almost don't know what is acceptable in a courting, dating situation now that can be misconstrued the wrong way. And if we're seeing, I'm not going to say that women are trying to look for some sort of a case or anything along those lines, but based on what was once acceptable by most men in a very sexist dynamic in a sexist society, now those little cues that we would normally see between a male and a female, we have to rethink that now. People that are on the job that would normally joke around with the opposite sex, something
exactly
that would be an innocuous joke,
mm-hmm, John Black,
can be
to
taken.
Your point,
yes.
And I'm a female, so I can say this. I'm sorry for all the female listeners that's going to hear this right now. I noticed that when certain things go down, if it's a guy that you're liking, you're entertaining at your job, it's cute and it's fine. But if it's a guy that you don't like and he approaches you a certain way, it's sexual harassment. We have to take responsibility for our own sexuality and female nature and the way you choose to move.
Said.
You understand what I mean? Because it's not working anymore.
No, because and I get what you're saying, because it's happened
Hold on, K-Dog.
Yeah.
Hold on, K-Dog. To let you see, to your point, how can a woman address that situation? If I flirt with you, Lady T, and you don't like it, because, you know, I'm not your type, how do you address that overall?
Even if you was my type, I had guys that I work with that was my type. We are at a professional setting. You understand what I mean? Talk to me outside of the job if I'm single. Talk to me outside of the job. Aside from that, I'm here to work and do my job and go home. I'm not here to think about who I'm catching in the workforce, but this is where it gets complicated because that's what people want to do. I understand that you're in the workforce, you know, pretty much all day. But when certain things like this arrive, you have to be prepared for it. Like, I was prepared for it when my boys tried to come on to me. I was prepared for that because I've seen him, the way he looked, this, that, how he would, like, try to brush up against me, and I shut that down.
So, Lady T, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you think it would be taken? Because I know some jobs have dress codes. But what if they became more stringent? Like, listen, no, nothing form-fitting, nothing tight. Anything too revealing, you will be sent home. Now, wouldn't that be considered something like, oh, you're infringing on, you know, our rights or whatever? Because sometimes the way some women dress is provocative. And, of course, men are going to look. Oh. And that look can be interpreted.
Can't really say that because let me explain to you. A woman's skirt, you got to put your hand by your, let's say it has to come up above your knee. I could still be wearing a skirt like that, have my heels on, have a nice shirt that I'm fully covered up with, but I'm sorry, the shape is there. It's
form-fitting
regardless. It's going to fit your form. I got the shape for it. It happened to me.
Okay.
You can't send me home. It's not looking provocative. It's still going to look sexy. I could go out there with a sweatsuit, and it still looks sexy.
That's true.
That's my point.
Okay.
What a man wants to do is what he's going to do. They can see through the – you guys are guys. Are you guys not guys?
Yeah, but you know, women
are
women. But wait a minute. Women are women, too. Women are women, too.
Yeah,
but this
also,
is my point. We can be as covered up as we want to be.
And is also putting it
still
back
approached like
that. The female's fault for having the shape to begin with.
Yes, and it's not the female's fault.
No,
it is not the female's fault.
And
hold on.
Sometimes this is what it is. This is what it is when it comes to that, and that's why some jobs they have a dress code for people coming to work with, especially when it comes to the females.
Dress code.
Trust me, there was a job. Let me tell you, one of the first jobs I remember working in the office, they said a dress code. Like, females have to have a dress code because they don't allow provocative dress in the office. And it's like they started out with business casual and they had to switch it up because why they had to switch it up? Because there was a lot of complaints and it was not based on guys coming in. It was
you guys do know, shout out to my Muslim females. They're fully covered and their faces are so beautiful and they still get hit on. You do know that. So let's stop.
I was just about to bring that up.
Like,
what do you consider as provocative?
We've seen this happen.
What somebody considers provocative is going to be suggestive based on what that person's tastes are.
Exactly.
So that's the hard part about deciphering what you would consider as something that is provocative at work and what should be accepted. If you have a baseline standard for what you should be wearing based on the workplace or what you're wearing and somebody is still hitting on, because we've seen how many men out there, they would hit on a female if she was wearing a plastic bag and googly eyes. That doesn't make a difference to most men that are out there in the workplace. If they see an attractive person, whether they're at work or not, if there's an opportunity that they're going to try and talk to that person,
they're
going to
make
moves
regardless.
They're going to do it anyway.
They're going to make moves regardless, even at work. There was a case at work. Now, I'm just going to make it short. There was a case at work involving a worker at the cafeteria. Now, a lady in HR came to get came to get breakfast. And he said, and she said, you know, the bagel, she ordered, she made an order. And the guy said, okay, sweetie. Took it to, she took it to a different level. She took offense to it. But what the guy said, okay, sweetie, now,
was
I heard that that guy ended up getting
or was
fired
he cute?
For it.
Was he ugly or cute? Because I'm sure if the cute guy
said
it,
he was an older gentleman.
That's my point. If it was the cute guy that said, okay, sweetie, she would have been down for the cause.
And she was an older woman, too. She was an older woman. That's an older woman. And because the guy just said, oh, okay, sweetie. And she got him in trouble because of that.
And to your point, Lady T, about, you know, no matter what you wear, a man will look. You know what? There's been ladies I saw in Walmart. There was wearing PJs. Well, nice body. I'm looking at it like, God damn, even PJs, you looking good. So, yes, you can wear anything.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I get it. I get it. But then again, I'm not having it because our mothers, I'm sorry. Our mothers and grandmothers, they dressed a certain way. And they didn't have to wear too much form-fitting stuff or have their titties all out, you know what I'm saying, to get a man's attention.
It was always
about discretion. So the whole thing is, it's not about hiding your form or it's about being ashamed of your body, but the whole thing is there's certain things you don't have to do. And I've had enough talks with enough women that say, I want to feel sexy, so I wear this. Or I want to feel like this. I want to feel that. And of course, that's your right. But once again, if you get a catcall, don't be mad because you wanted to feel sexy, right? Because how many women turn around and dress a certain way, and when no one pays attention to them, then they get mad. Like, wait a minute, nobody's paying attention to me? Oh,
but
yeah,
at the same time, this argument is going back to the root of this seems to come back to the female. Just the context
of the whole
discussion.
Have you ever seen a chick with a curvy chick with just a regular T-shirt? She can have on a basketball T-shirt and still get hollered at.
It's not. That's the thing. Nobody's blaming the woman.
Because
that has nothing to do with it always coming back to them. The thing is this. There's blame on both parts, and that's a lot of people don't want to look at it like that because, like I said, I mean we're living in a time where Pepe Le Pew is getting canceled because
poor Pepe.
See, everybody wants to be too sensitive and so sensitive, and it's ridiculous
now
because everything is okay until it happens to them. Because it's a damn shame if Sean Black goes out here and says, "Oh, how you doing, ma'am?" And somebody's like, "Oh, you calling me ma'am? Why are you talking to me? Oh, I feel offended." All he said was ma'am.
Saying good morning or saying hello, it's like it's a it's becoming a problem.
It's the way you say it. It's the way he looked at me when he said it.
Yeah, but Brother B, I'm happy you brought up the Pepe Le Pew because I was about to bring that up because I just found it outraged, like, it's come to
it
a
is.
Point now. Are they going to cancel? Are they going to culture cancel almost everything now? From back in them days? Like, Pepe Le Pew was chasing after that cat. But isn't
people
too sensitive?
Are too damn
or,
sensitive.
You know what? People,
don't forget
people
about
have
Dr.
realized.
Seuss books.
Oh, Dr.
Well,
Seuss.
Everything,
that's
and
why
and
some of y'all know how to read
now.
Because of Dr. Seuss. Come on.
Everything is offensive except for Cardi B. Everything is offensive except for Cardi B.
Which I don't understand.
Nobody's getting offended by that.
So, but once again,
nobody gets offended by that. As a matter of fact, it's music and it's self. And you know what?
It's a double standard. It's a double standard being set. That's what it is.
Sean,
it's a double standard being set.
Sean, when was it you told me a couple of days ago that, you know, it works for me right now? It doesn't work for other people? Or it was something like that. You got it, Cardi B, the Muppet Baby.
Yeah, it's one of those things where
the Muppets.
Yeah, it's things that happened in the past fit in the past in its context. But things that are happening today have evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, we talked about the old Looney Tunes cartoons, which were extremely racist and extremely sexist way back then. But they shouldn't be completely erased. They deserve the context of what they are by preserving them You don't necessarily have to show them now, but put them to the path, to the side. What you're talking about with Pepe Le Pew, based on what today's society accepts, Pepe Le Pew has no place in today's society. Because
so
we all know the concept of Pepe Le Pew going after the cat that he thinks is a skunk. And it's hands all over, kissing, blah, blah, blah. We know all of it. So the message involved in what the cartoon represents is completely a complete juxtaposition to what everything is going on today. So in that sense,
so
that's what the issue is.
Okay. All right. Back to my original question before I go to the last topic. Lady T, once again, should Governor Cuomo resign?
No.
Okay. Why?
Has the case been proven? He's been found guilty. I think he should go right through with the case.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe his career is over. He should have run for re-election again for a fourth term. But once again, it's funny how politics work. That you're trying to do something good for the state, and you know we have. I think I find it more outrageous that people are more upset over sexual harassment compared to the nursing homes situation. Isn't that funny?
And I was going to bring that up.
Isn't
also.
That funny?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's people are more upset about that. And it comes to the press conference that they know that Cuomo can't even talk too much about it because you know it's a case. But they go to the mayor, de Blasio, instead of worrying about the COVID cases, the vaccine, you know, jobs, worrying about, they ask him questions about Cuomo. You know, they want to know juicy details.
He needs to just ignore those questions and continue doing whatever, finish out his mayoral term.
Yeah. In other words, instead of us moving forward, you know, try to get this city back on track, we're worrying about someone's quote-unquote personal life.
Yeah, well, it's always a distraction. But, I mean, we don't have Trump anymore for the entertainment part, so it's always a distraction,
Cuomo.
You know? Yeah. So
that's the game of politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's politics.
Okay. And last but not least, Coming to America was on streaming over the weekend. And like I told Sean Black, I asked Brother B last night if he saw it. K-Dog saw it. He said the movie was okay. Lady T,
saw
the movie?
Yeah, it was
okay. Lady T, saw the movie?
Part of it. The only thing that I was interested in, the costumes are nice. That movie, anyway.
But besides that, I bring this up because on social media, people were dodging this movie, dumping it all over it, calling it trash, over a black movie. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm jumping a gun. But doesn't it seem like black people always seem to criticize or talk crap about other black movies? Like, I understand you did not like Coming to America. Part two, you know, I don't know why people comparing it to part one. It's like, this is 33 years later. But are we jumping to the gun and criticizing or knock our own self down as usual? Brother B, you saw the movie. What's your takeaway?
I mean, I liked it. I liked the feel of it. I really, if it was funny at times, it's fine. But I wasn't looking so much for the comedy, and I appreciated that because I mean he's been doing comedy all his life, and you can tell in his progression, his evolution, he's changed, and he's doing different things, and I appreciate that. I enjoyed the fact that he had so many damn people in there, from Gladys Knight to Morgan Freeman to like he really cut everybody a check, and he showed a solidarity and unity that is rarely seen. And by him bringing
Wesley Snipes was in
back.
The movie, who actually
auditioned
Snipes. For Arsenio Hall's part in the original Coming to America. So think about that one.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed it because it felt warm. It was family. Like I think he did it with a higher purpose. He wasn't just looking for laughs. I mean, Eddie got money. You know what I'm saying? I think he was trying to really say something else. And it says that these Negroes are out here bashing him, but it just goes to show you how you just can't get along with one another.
Okay, Sean Black.
I'm going to see the movie actually after the show is over with, because I'm wanting to see the movie over the weekend. As far as what your question is, I've heard a lot of that same complaint about, you know, if the movie is too funny, it's too comedy, too much leaning on comedy. If there's not enough comedy, oh, well, it's too preachy. Or if it's not, there's always a complaint. I've heard so many of those things with a lot of the Tyler Perry movies and a lot of other movies that are trying to do certain things. But also, as Hot Rod and I talked about before we went on the air even, it's kind of hard to get the same flavor of a movie that you're doing a sequel to that came out literally almost 3.5 decades ago. You're not going to get the same feel.
Yeah.
It's not going to necessarily be the same. And I think anybody that probably went into the movie thinking that that's what was going to be the case, you might be disappointed. It's going to be funny on its own merits. It's going to have its own flow, its own feel. And you appreciate the movie for what it is. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Lady T?
Oh, sorry. I was stuck on the 3.5 decades because you just revealed some of our ages on here.
We were kids when this movie came. The first movie came out.
I'm gonna pass it back to you, Rod.
Okay.
You said that. I was poor. Sorry.
She got caught in the trash. Like, oh my gosh. Kato,
we've been 33 years.
Wow, 33 years. Yeah, man.
Why do you think it was okay?
Why do I think it was okay? Because it was entertaining. That's why. You know, it's not the typical Eddie Murphy movie that you used to see back in the day. This was pretty much more, let's just say, it was safe, you know? There wasn't that much
safe
language. It wasn't no nudity. It was safe.
Well, what do you mean by safe?
And it was safe for everybody to watch.
There was no violence.
Safe.
There was
no violence.
Cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
it wasn't all of that.
In the first one, though.
Well, yeah, usually, when I hear somebody say a movie was safe, I usually think that they mean that they didn't take too many risks trying to go outside of the realm of what the movie could have.
That's what I mean.
When you said safe, I thought you meant like, hey.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was safe.
Okay.
That's what I gotta say.
Okay. Okay. Now, Lady T, are you back on Earth now, or are you still in your trance?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's not back. She's not back yet.
Overall, it's just I want to see more black movies like this because I'm sick and tired of seeing the slave movies.
Same
you
here.
Know, you know, the killing each other, the hood movies. It's like a movie like this about Africa. The costumes, I heard the makeup was phenomenal. You know,
yeah.
Eddie Murphy, this movie alone gave over 600 people jobs, you know, 600 people. Tyler Perry, we need movies like this. We need to build our own. We need to uplift one another. And so I praise this movie. I haven't seen this yet. Whether this movie is funny or not, I could tell I'm going to like it. My boss told me she loved it. And you know what? I go with that because, once again, we need positive movies. We need positive aspects in our life because there's a lot going on in this world, especially with the black,
we need to laugh.
Black killing. We need some laughs overall. And with that said, Lady T, I'm going to give you the last chance. This is Ladies' Day. Ladies' Day, is there anything you'd like to say or to address?
Address y'all issues, women, on Women's Day. That's it. I don't
you
have
know,
nothing
Rod, it's
to say.
Actually internet,
oh
it's actually women, National Women's Month also.
Oh, so yeah, the month. Yeah,
and
I don't
not
celebrate
just International Women's Day, but it's Women's Month, too.
So,
that's
so
right.
Like, you tell me it's PMS month all month? Oh, come on.
Oh,
I can't deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, wait till tomorrow night, because the ladies should be running the show again. If Lady T is with it.
Oh, gosh.
It's ladies' night. Yep.
So tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on Blog Talk Radio right here, is at 8:30 with the menu. We will have Ladies' Night, a.k.a. Mel Bastion, that Lady T, Big Red, will be praising Brother B and the Hot Rod, how much they love us and adore us, and they know we are the perfect gentlemen.
Oh, please.
Okay. On that note, K-Dog, Brother B, Sean Black. And Lady T, thank you all. Have a good night. Stay safe.
Good night, y'all.
And good night.
It was all yours. Stay safe, y'all. Happy Women's Day.
And yes. Don't forget the ones in here that get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Get your shot.
Behave yourselves.
Right.